What up, though? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all. Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing. Hey. You know, where'd I come from? T.S. Madison. Shout out to T.S. Madison. We ain't gave her no love on our podcast. And I know she's controversial and all those things. But we do have a Black trans woman with their own reality show on WeTV. Like, who would have thought? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and openly. Ain't no like, oh, a secret.
Yeah.
Oh, is she trans? Is she not? Type of thing. None of that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's like a person.
And shout out to T.S. Madison too, because that whole controversy, because she was associated with, you know, that other chick, and I was, you know,
who
for me, y'all homegirl, Kaya. That's why I didn't originally fuck with her, because I'm like, anybody associated with that, no thanks. But but one of the things that they beefed out about was when she was trying to take her YouTube channel up to another level and somebody still wanted to be Bargain Basement and they separated. And then now, you know, she's elevated. She has her own morning show on YouTube and she elevated and she stepped up, because everything that associated with Black people does not have to be raggedy, dirty, stanky, moldy, and about to break down. And she wanted to elevate and somebody else didn't. So that took her all the way to getting her own show on WeTV. That's why sometimes you have to step stuff up. You can't stay raggedy forever. But anyway, so I give her definitely props for that.
No. You're right. And I think, you know, and it's just really weird, because if you were watching Queen's Court and then the whatever would after Kaya, like it was really trying to keep elevated, like when they moved into like a set and all of that. At first, everybody was like, I don't like the set, and which I didn't like the set. I liked it more when it was just like what we're doing on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get, you know, it would be like us getting the set and we like, you know, I don't know, too fancy for our own good. But I agree with you though, right? Like, invest in your art, invest. She had another vision and her vision led her to WeTV. Now we all know WeTV don't pay, and according to, you know, the term, I want to say, I know her name is Tamar. What's her group, with her fan base, Tarmation?
Tamartians.
The Tamartians and everything and all of that. But no, but just shout out to T.S. Madison. But yeah, is this thing on? But anyway, Evanston, you know what we're on here to do. The people who's watching us, and we are live on Facebook once again, another week. I hope you guys are enjoying our videos. But I know what we're here, why we're here, what show we on. But let's tell them. Welcome to What Works For Us. I don't think we ever going to get that right on like video.
I don't know, because I didn't know you. It was a long intro into it. So I'm like, okay, is he going to say now? I'm just going to jump on in. What Works For Us?
But, yeah, you know, but it has changed over a while when we said it, because remember, we used to go right into it. You are listening to What Works For Us.
That's true.
Then now we kind of open it up with some kind of commentary in a way. So today was T.S. Madison. I think last week we were talking about something that's crazy. But shout out to us trying to figure out, you know, this is what, our fourth episode being on video?
Is it our fourth? It might be our fourth. If it's not fourth, it's our fifth.
Our fifth, right. We, you know, we moved, but look, the pandemic enforced us into video. How do you feel about that? Because you have been saying video for What Works For Us for all year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something like, we kind of did a video. We always talk about it for the Art Heels Festival. So now we're finally here. We're doing video. This is what you wanted.
Yeah.
And not like what you, like I didn't want it to,
yeah, but no. I'm just
saying what you advocated for. Mm-hmm. So we're here in a panoramic made us get here. What is your sentiments around being on video?
I think it's what we have to do, because I mean, everybody else is doing it. Like, a lot of people I'm following are all going to video podcasts. I mean, people who have really established brands. So my thing is, I think we're right on the mark. And you know, I still got more work to do. I wanted to get to five, so this is four. we got one more, and then we can transition on over to the tube. And then that's that on that. So no, I think I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. I like it. I mean, it just interests me because I feel like I was a lot more, I could be a lot more ratchet when it was just audio and stuff like that, and like making noises in the mic. And
well, you don't have to stop now, but I mean, I guess that's how people, when people can't be seen, they like to do crazy stuff. So
right. Well, how would I do that? Like if I had the mic in front of me, I can't be like putting the mic like all up.
Oh, on well, my, yeah. I'm yeah.
That's what cross my top lip. Cause you know, my top lip.
That's gonna make me have to start editing it, and I'm gonna start putting stuff in front of your face and stuff like that. Because I was watching a YouTube video. I was watching a YouTube video, I think it was this morning, and I was trying to figure out why she was blocking her and her man out. She kept blocking her and her man out. I was like, oh, they're smoking weed. I couldn't figure it out.
On
like,
YouTube?
Yeah, but she was blocking it out with a heart. And I'm like, why she keep blocking that out? But they were smoking weed.
Man, this top lip is a killer. Just for if anybody was wondering, I don't use my bottom lip too much. But anyway, you know what time it is, Devin. I know what time it is. It is time to what?
Check in.
So I guess I'll go first because me and Emerson was talking offline and he kind of bullied me into going first, but I'm recovered now, and so I'm good. So my weekend, so I'll be headed back to Austin. You know, I've been saying that all week. I've been saying like, oh, how many times are you gonna say it? I'm gonna say it as many times I need to.
No, we haven't talked about this. We were on the phone yesterday, I think.
Yeah, we talked about it, but I have mentioned it more than once on the phone. I remember I had to correct myself. I was like, oh, girl, I already said that.
Oh.
This weekend, yesterday was Sunday fun day. I hung out with some, me and my boo thing hung out with some friends, and we went over to their house and had brunch and had wine because we did not want to kind of be interacting with the Mother's Day crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine? Like, I remember trying to get to restaurants on Mother's Day. That is not cute. Mother's Day is not cute. If you're not a mother with your family trying to go out, you should not be trying to go out to no restaurant on Mother's Day because you would be sadly mistaken thinking you about to walk in anywhere that has booths and a table and order some food during the brunch and afternoon time on Mother's Day. It's just not gonna happen.
Not at all.
And so we kind of avoided all of that and had like brunch at their house and stuff like that. Then we, that was basically it. It was a real chill Saturday, Sunday. Of course, Saturday was, I spent the night with Escape and SWV. Even me and Emma, we're gonna talk a little bit more about it. Me and Emerson had a pregame or whatever. That was so cute. I had on like this outfit with no, I was fully naked underneath. But Emerson, he said he didn't see anything. And I'm like, well, I'm a professional. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a bit. Friday, I went to a reggae club out in another city. I was supporting the arts. It was Black owned, and they really was talking about supporting Black businesses, right? And the issues that Black people have with supporting Black businesses, like always thinking they're going to get a discount, always being like highly critical of Black businesses, and things like that, because we know that it's not just Black, but like before this whole support Black business thing was a thing, we were still complaining about restaurants. We still didn't get the food that we wanted, we ordered. We still didn't, you know, like it was still issues at restaurants. I'll never forget being at Papado's I'm gonna just say it, a big old roach crawled up the wall, and that's one of the best seafood restaurants in the Texas area or even in Atlanta. So you can go a lot of places and see some ghetto stuff that's not about being Black owned, but they were just saying how critical we are of Black owned things, and that it takes nothing for us to order, you know, Black owned soap, Black owned detergent, Black owned stuff. Like everything that we buy that's not Black owned is accessible. And two, because of where we live in, like ordering stuff online, it's kind of no excuse now. Right, because most of us buy stuff online. So before, like, okay, I can't just walk into the store and get it. I got to go to the African store up the street and get some Black soap. Actually, you can order it online.
That's true.
So the accessibility to Black-owned products is way up. And I ain't gonna lie, I'm gonna ask you this. Would you buy like some off-brand Black-owned detergent that you ain't never used before?
I would have to know that it would be something that I like. Because that's one thing. Okay, it's one thing to support. I'm not against supporting Black business, but my thing is I've bought Black products before, and it's not because it was Black that I didn't like it. It just wasn't something, once I used it, I was like, I really didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? But it's nothing. I didn't say, oh, because it was Black. No, it was just, I just didn't like it. Just like if I might use something that was Anglo, just didn't like it. You know, so if it was detergent, and it might have had a scent or something that, you know, I like my detergents to actually have scents on them and smell good, like my clothes smell good. So if it didn't have a scent or something, I might not, but I would try it though. I would certainly try it, but I wouldn't just keep using it. And I'm like, well, I really don't like it, but it's Black. I wouldn't do that. And I don't think that's fair for the, if people think we should do that, we should use stuff we don't like, or if it's something that's not effective, you know, we're supposed to be using something, like if we use Black soap and the Black soap is breaking our face out. No shade to Black soap, but I can't use this brand of Black soap. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I have to try to find something else. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe I got a lip gloss or something. I have to find something else. But so yeah, I would use it, but I would have to like it to continue to use it.
But you would support, yeah. Well, I'm just gonna be on the front with you. Like when it comes to like detergent, like clothing, like not dish detergent, but even dish detergent, really, I'd be on the fence. Like I don't be liking to try most of it. Some of that stuff do not begin soapy, and that be my thing, you know. Like, be like clear free, this free. I'm like, well, I need a little something to make sure that's clean. Like, if you can guarantee that it's gonna be clean, and if I can run it, if I can wash my hands and my hands don't lather or have any soap, I'm just not buying that. This is gonna wash my clothes, or this is going to wash my dishes. Mm-hmm. If it's not giving me any. I don't know what it's supposed to give, but if it's just feeling like water, I don't know. So yeah, I'm real finicky about those products. But yeah, it was a really good conversation that kind of opened my eyes, because my son Malik, shout out to Malik, he is always Black owned this, Black owned that, and I am Black owned. I don't go out my way to, like, everything that I do or go or eat has to be Black on. I ain't gonna say I'm like that. I wanna be a little bit more conscious of it, but he's like Nelson Mandela about it. And so I told him when I talked to him that it reminded me of that. But yeah, that was basically my weekend. The week was just really, just I had a few stuff that I had to do, work related. I did quit a job. And let me say this. Because, you know, guys, I try to live like a mantra of positivity. I ain't no fake phony. If y'all been listening to the 71 episodes, I go ham about all types of stuff. So it's not that I, you know, live a life of, you know, like this fraudulent mantra of positivity. But even through any issues around negativity or disagreements, I mean, hell, we talked about Off the Black Pride the first, you know, we was in season one. And that was a thing. So we've had some stuff, and shout out to them, Austin Black Pride, June 9th through the 13th, 2021. Edmondson's time to go back outside. But anyway, yes, so it's this organization, this nonprofit clinic that I've been working for. And I would say this, if I get one more call from an employee that is suffering from mental anguish about how they're being treated, I'm going public about what's going on in that agency. And I'm just saying that on a podcast, and I will be reposting this on our Facebook page. But I just don't like, if you're supposed to be serving a community, a certain demographic in a community, and specifically persons living with HIV. And as a person living with HIV, I had to quit for my own mental stability. It was, first of all, it was just supposed to be a consulting job. It was supposed to be a sideline hustle that I was bamboozled into all of this work. And then as a person that you're supposed to be having services for, but I'm an employee, it ended up being a situation where y'all caused more re-traumatizing energy than before I got there. Like, I feel worse than I did during the time being there. And if I get one more call about an employee that's having, you know, I have privilege to be able to walk away from those kind of situations, because I do take my mental health seriously, especially when it comes to work. Edmondson, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely.
When I'm done,
yeah,
I'm done. God got me. And I'm not just, I don't do it blindly, like God got me, like I'm just praying to, you know, to heaven and not making a plan. But, and this is more into our episode later on, but the action that I take is that I put my mental health first, you know what I'm saying? And that was some good money. But so I just want to put that out there. I'm not going to say the name of the agency. We already got a one cease and desist letter in our 71 of episodes. So I'm not trying to get another one. But if I get one more call, we're going public. But I feel freer since that happened. I can focus more on our organization and the things that I feel like is really making a difference. Sometimes good opportunities come by way of financial advancement, but you know, like they say, all money ain't good money. So we'll just leave it at that. But yes. And I'm about to, you know what? I'm about to retweet this as you check it. I'm about to retweet our episode live on my page from the What Works For Us page. So just in case somebody wanted to, you know, backtrack what I just said, they have opportunity to do so. But Edmondson, what's up? What's going on with you? What's your check-in?
Oh my goodness. my check-in is same old for me. It's the last week, honestly, kind of was a blur. I mean, it was the same old. I can't really even think of anything that stuck out, except the one thing that I waited for. I've been talking about this for actually a little while, the verses. So that's my check-in. That was my highlight. I got dressed and was ready, download the little app, fight app and everything. And it was really cool just to watch it or whatever. And it, like, we did have our pregame before, like our little pre-show of our own beforehand. So that was cute. And it was just good to see both groups. I'm a fan of both groups. I'm more of a celebration person. A lot of people, you know, they even Trilla made it a competition situation, but I feel like it's a celebration of music, just period. And music really is the soundtrack to my life. So seeing Escape and SWV, particularly SWV, because I always say that was like my first girl group. I had them on cassette tape. It's About Time. That's what, and again, it was one of my, if y'all remember when we did our top music of 2020, their album It's About Time was on my list. So that just goes to show how SWV has been a part. I still listen to them to this day. And that was well over what, 30 something years ago, had to be. So it was great. And seeing them all together at the end, it made me emotional just because it just made me think like they're all still here. I'm still here. And it was Mother's Day weekend. And it just brought back so many other good memories of just how I used to listen to music at home. And my mama, I always say this, mama should put me out when I was like 10, because I was so disrespectful for my music. But, you know, I was just a lover of loud music and I like to hear my music loud. I like to feel the 808 going through my body. that's just how I am. That's why I like going to clubs and, you know, because I can feel the music going through me. I like that. So, that was the highlight of my week. I'll just say that. I can't really think of anything else going on. Oh, I did say our failure last week of trying to play that Saweetie video. I did actually see the whole thing, and she recently, she was on a Rumors Report on the Breakfast Club today because she did another performance that she fucked up on. I'm like, I'm gonna need you to stop. Like, if you have not went to your stage performance boot camp yet, stop performing until you go, because you just keep fucking up. I'm like, she got another fucked up performance? Damn, she just finished the last one. And that segment, she was like the headliner of that whole situation. So she did like 5 songs. It was a train wreck. And I'm not trying to read her. It was just, that was a failure on my part. I should have never said play the video. But if y'all get a chance, go look at the whole Triller fight performance of Saweetie and see that performance. It was hard to look at. Like, my eyes bled looking at it. Because I'm like, oh, MG, are they serious? The dancers was the highlight. The dancers, just look at the dancers, because they, I mean, well, I'm saying look at it, but Don't look at Saweetie. Look at the dancers. I mean, she's pretty, but that's it. Like, it ain't nothing else. But anyway, that's just that on that. But more yeah, about... But
we got to go back to the Doja's. Go over the verses.
No, like I'm not, I'm going back.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I was so much.
It's so much to talk about.
Oh, yeah, no, it's so much. Oh, no, I just wanted to put that in there because, no, I'm going back to verses. I just wanted to put out the good of verses first. Now we could talk about the whole situation with my girl Coco. And this is not... This is kind of what the topic is on, but it's just my experience with Coco. I'm just going to say my standpoint from what happened with Coco after I thought about it. I just heard something. Somebody ding you or something? Anyway, yeah. It ain't on my end. Whatever. No, so the whole experience with Coco and her, it is so funny. First of all, let's talk about, well, I got so much to say about the whole situation. But okay, first of all, when Coco first was sitting out there, I text Mr. Telltales because I was like, oh, she is not feeling it. She is pissed off. I said that early on, like, oh, she is not feeling it. Like, it's something ain't right. And clearly, something was not right. Coco was not here for it. She was pissed. She was not enthused by the escape. I was wondering if they were even friends in real life. I'm like, did they really beef? I'm like, they show pictures of them hanging out back in the day. There was a few pictures of them hanging out back in the day. So I'm like, I know they cool. She was just singing they song. And I'm like, so what is going on? I'm like, so she gonna be here and be like a diva, this type of opportunity? Like, I'm like, what? She got the game fucked up. Girl, this is like a resurgence of your career. This could do a lot for you. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't know. So I just went with it. Mm-hmm. Even though that, you know, because they were still performing songs I liked. You know, I was excited when they performed Can We. Can We actually... My mom liked Can We. I was one time blasting Can We in the house, and she yelled up, said, Eric. And I was like, yeah. She was like, what's that song? And I'm like, what song? She was like, I like that song. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I was like, oh, Can We? She's like, yeah, I like that. I'm like, oh, okay. Encouraged me to play it again, blasting it loud. But anyway, so that song, when they did that was like a special song to me, because I was like, my mama liked that song. I don't think she knew what they was thinking about, but she liked it. And then they did Downtown. Oh, I love Downtown. Love Downtown. They did like
a cappella version, didn't they?
Of what, Downtown or Can We?
I can't remember. They did one of them songs. No, it was Human. No, I don't forget. Yeah, Downtown. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they might have did. But anyway, yeah. So Downtown, I love Downtown. But then Coco, and I think, Downtown, was it Downtown or was it, I forget what song, where Coco's jacket actually came open. So I guess that probably really made her uncomfortable. And then she was up there talking about she could take off her shoes. So she was just clearly uncomfortable. We could start seeing how she was uncomfortable. She was fidgety and wanted to take her shoes off. And then when the girls, you know, they kept trying to come together. They're like, yeah, we too far away from each other. They kept trying to come. Coco set her ass down there like, bitch, I'm not getting up. And I'm like, okay. Girl, what is your problem? So, you know, it was a problem. And, you know, fast forward, because we're going to talk about this probably throughout the whole episode. They had their break, and then she came back in a whole another outfit. Her and Taj, actually, Taj changed her. She had changed her top two to that SWV sweatshirt. And I'm going to preface this by saying I understand. We're going to talk about the mental part of what Coco went through. I'm totally sensitive to that. It is Mental Health Awareness Month, so I don't want to seem like I'm not sensitive to that, but y'all know what I talk about all the time. If you follow me on Instagram as of late, I've been talking about, and I'm going to keep on talking about the same thing, this whole thing with the athleisure uniforms, joggers, that I'm anti. And she pretty much went backstage and put on not a athleisure uniform, but she had on yoga pants. Those were athletic pants by FBF. She kept on talking about the brand, and a sweatshirt with the sleeves cut off. They try to make it look more stylish. And after the smoke cleared from all the drama, I thought about it and I was like, I really have a problem with that. I had a problem that they went backstage and they changed into that compared to Escape. Escape came ready to show up in stilettos. Candy and Tiny, I mean, they was in, Tiny was sitting down a lot. But she had her moments when she got up. So they had on these
stuff. Mad, but they were trying to get her. She's like, no, I'm going to sit down.
Right, 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 right. So but she was taking her break. She's like, no, I'm going to keep on standing up. But they both had on stilettos. They looked good. They stayed pulled the whole time. Even Tamika, because there was one part she was getting all down to the floor, but she still kept it together. So my thing is, and then Coco came back out when she changed her outfit. And she said, well, we're not those type of girls. I have a problem with that. Why do you feel uncomfortable being dressed Why do you feel, I mean, I understand we feel comfortable when we around the house and we land, you know, about to go to the grocery store or something like that. I understand that. But I think that's a problem. This is, I guess I'm saying this to say, my whole point of me saying what I say all the time is because of that. What happened with her is the reason why I preach, why I be saying what I'm saying. We need to stop all this madness with these yoga pants. Oh, that shit needs to stop. Because it's getting to a point where people are getting so comfortable in that shit that when you put them in something nice, they don't, you know, I don't like this. But you're showing up to something, that type of event, you can't just be, I mean, we accepted it because we wanted Coco to be back out there comfortable singing. I'm happy.
I mean, they had on like an SWV shirt. She was able to move. So if she wasn't able to move, think it would just, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a performance. So they put on their flats.
No, I mean, but that's not an acceptable performance outfit to wear exercise clothes for a performance. I mean, I'm just, no shade. I mean, I understand you want to be moved and, you know, and not. The stylist should have did something or styled them in a way to make sure that they had on something that was cute. You can wear stuff that's cute that you can move in. That's not exercise clothes. Exercise clothes, yoga pants are not the only pants that they make that you can get on stage and dance in. I would accept it if they wore something that was a little bit more dance. Like they have I'm not saying they should have had leotards on, but I mean, I know dance wear when I say like, oh, okay, a dance pants or something like that. I know the difference. And she promoted it on her page as exercise gear. That's not appropriate when you are going to on a stage and have that many people looking at you and brands, all this kind of stuff looking at you, and you're wearing an exercise hookup as your outfit. It just, compared to Escape, they didn't look legendary to me. They looked like they were struggling. And
they gave me oh my God.
They looked like they was performing at a barbecue.
Like a school competition. What'd you call that? Where your people get up there on the mic and they had the competition in the
I don't want to say amateur night. That's not what
I want to say amateur night too, but that's not the
but that wasn't what it was called in school. It was in school day, it was a different name. I can't think of it though.
But yeah, that's what it looked like. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A talent
like show. Assembly.
A talent show. They was giving
a talent show, yeah.
Vibes with yeah. The matching shirts. And
but then they would have been not even good. They would have not even been cute dressed then. I mean, because it was just not. But my whole point of me mentioning this is because, again, I talk about this all the time because I think that that is a problem for a lot of people. They don't know. And like you said, I'm not saying she should have stayed in the same outfit. That was her stylist's fault. I don't blame her. Her stylist should have made sure that they put her in something that she truly was comfortable in to be able to sit the whole time. They put her in something that she could only just sit in. You got this little bra top on with the jacket and she didn't want none of that to show. So she's trying to keep it closed. Why would you put her in that? So I'm not blaming her. I really blame her stylist because that's what you have to make sure that they, you know, do you feel good in this? Do you feel like you could sit in this the whole time? She probably was so nervous and with all the other stuff that happened with the shooting and all that kind of stuff. If y'all don't know, she said that she saw somebody got shot in front of her hotel and she saw him on the ground laying down with all the blood and that kind of was affected her. And then she had an anxiety attack when she got to the venue. So maybe she wasn't even thinking about her wardrobe like that. Like, oh, I did this for, okay, I'm just going to put it on because she was going through so much other stuff. So I blame her stylist. But again, I thought about it. I was like, I don't condone what they, especially Taj didn't have to change. Taj changed too. She had a little jacket. She had on them shorts to begin with. Now I know Taj wanted to move too, but those little sweatshirts, it just did not compare to Escape. They looked
amazing. I mean, it is completely your brand, like to like call that out, right? That was definitely a call out because they literally did change. Like you saw them uncomfortable and what they had on, and they literally did change it, like these sweat shirts with the SWV logo on there with some leggings. I mean, even Spinderella had on like a loose fitting shirt, but it was bedazzled, it was dressed up, and she had some leather pants. Like they could have moved in that, but they didn't necessarily have to go into rehearsal clothes. That was actually a rehearsal outfit that they had on, that they did. That's basically what it looked like. Like that's what you wear to rehearsing, not to actually give the performance.
And she, again, I'm just being sensitive. I understand what she was going through, but it going like, me being and doing what I do, me being a style coach, I did have to call that. I'm like, but no, that was actually not good. Like, it was just not good. And I remember before I told you, even before, I was like, I wonder what they're going to have on. I remember I said it to you. I was like, I wish I could have styled it.
You already knew you wasn't going to like it.
I knew I wasn't going to like it. But then when they first came, I'm like, okay. And then they were so uncomfortable. So my whole point of trying to tie this in to get out of check-in and talk about the actual topic of today's show, it's just talking about, and make sure I say this right, because we actually changed the title. Now I don't remember what it, I was using a different word, but now it was
basically, do Black people take mental health seriously?
Yes, do Black people take mental health seriously? Because after the fact, you know, Coco went to her page and she said what had happened, and she did put mental, like a hashtag for mental health or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, I wonder, is this something that she's addressing, or is she just kind of like, oh, well, you know, I was acting uncomfortable beginning the show and everything like that. And, you know, I almost didn't come out. That's just how I'm is. But I'm not saying that's what she said. I'm just saying that's how some of us be, you know, I think, like, is that something she's addressing? Like, or how are you talking about how you froze up like that, and how maybe that anxiety attack could have been other things that you're just maybe, you know, trying to pad it up to make it, or wrap it up in a bow and make it look pretty into something else? Like, is that something you're talking about? Because lately I've just been hearing a lot of people, you hear a lot of people say stuff. Oh, I'm pissed off. I'm frustrated. I'm sad. I'm mad, you know, but that's just how I'm is, period.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you doing about it, though? Like, you know, we're not, just because, you know, we're Black, don't mean we're supposed to walk around. We were talking about this kind of beforehand. We, as Black people, all have PTSD. You were saying, yes, we all need to have PTSD because of, well, you didn't say.
But not that we need to, but.
Well, where we do.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
But we do. Okay, well, yeah, we do. We all have a form of PTSD as Black people. And, you know, we can't really, for various reasons, but I have a big reason why I think so. But anyway, for various reasons, we have issues with PTSD, and we have to handle that. We should be trying to handle that in some kind of way. We can't necessarily always fix the issue, but we got to be able to make sure we can cope or figure out coping mechanisms for ourselves to make sure that our mental health is intact. But I just think a lot of people have, and I'm trying not to use the word, I keep on wanting to say the same word, but I can't say it, I guess. But we just are... setting our ways with our mental health issues, and we're not trying to do anything about it. That's what I'm pretty much, or some of us are not doing anything about it, because we just figured that's how I'm is. That's just how I'm is. So, you know, with Coco, I know she's always known to have had an attitude and all this kind of stuff. Even somebody in her comments said, you know, Coco, I love you, attitude and all. And I know I have an attitude too. So I get it. But my thing is, if you have this attitude from something that maybe a childhood trauma or something has happened to you that you just carry with you, and you're just like, but that's just how I'm is. I mean, she, you know, got a divorce from her husband randomly, like all this stuff just happened. And I feel like she just kind of coasting through, like, oh, that's just how I'm is. And another thing she does too, as far as her dress, like I went through her page and I was just like, well, let me assess how she dresses, because maybe this is an issue with her dressing. And she always wears like hoodies. She always wears hoodies and like leggings. That's kind of like her look, and that's, I guess that's okay. But then I don't think, I'm like, well, what is it? She did have a lipo before. She did say she looked like Respucia when she was on BET years ago, so maybe she has some type of body situation with her body that she's uncomfortable with that she's not addressing. And maybe this, that could be tied into what was going on too. But that's why she needs to change to something that was more loose, that, you know, her, that, again, like she said, she, I want to be at a kick. She might not have been able to kick another outfit, but I just felt like there was other choices. But anyway, that's what I wanted to talk about, just how I think we be doing stuff like that. And it's like, okay, she had an episode pretty much, and that's it. Like, yeah, I had an episode. Yeah, that's I almost didn't come out at all. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me with this subject, definitely hits very, very close to my day job, right? Being a mental health peer specialist, one of the things that I do.
Yeah.
But one of the things really in a journey as a mental health peer is really acknowledging like people in their mental health recovery, right? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to a client earlier, like around, so when we think about like mental health, it is a recovery journey. Like, mm-hmm. if you are a person that have attempted suicide in your life, then you're always in recovery, because you are always, you have, you will always be a person that have already crossed that threshold. Like once you cross that, then you always a person that is capable of doing that, depending on where you are in your mental health recovery, right? Like if you, like things can trigger you, things can be traumatizing to you. Relationships can take you back to that place you were at when you decided to think that, you know, life was no longer valuable to you. Mm-hmm. And so after you do that, you'll always be a person that is now in recovery. And it's kind of like substance abuse. Like once you do drugs, like say if you become strung out on like a crack, like once you are a crack addict, you are not forever in recovery. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You always in drug abuse recovery. Yeah. Once you come out of it, if you choose to come out of it. And so why I really like this topic, because I think it really talks about recovery and that choice to, like you said, do something about it or come out of it. Because like, if you are a person that have, and I do believe that when we talk about mental health and stuff like that, and especially with Black people, we endure so much that like mental health episodes is just everyday for us, right? You know what I'm saying? Just being Black will send you into these thoughts of depression or these thoughts of feeling less, you know, valuable, or, you know, all of these things that kind of just mess with our mental stability. You know, we think about if you're watching a trial with, you know, of, you're looking at another shooting, and we talk about this on the show all the time, but all of those things kind of contribute to our mental wellness. And so for us, though, why I really like this topic is, what do we do? Like, are we doing something about it, especially as Black people, and especially as Black people who also have other marginalized identities, whether you're Black and female, Black and queer, Black living with HIV, Black and homeless, Black and whatever that has other issues. And I think you're right, because so when we talk about, do Black people take their mental health seriously? I don't know if a lot of people do. I feel like, and it goes back to where I always hate when they say that Black people don't talk about mental health. I never agree with that, because we in the hood back in Detroit, we talked about mental health, but we didn't talk about it clinically. We talked about it like, oh, baby, something wrong with her. Oh, baby, she touched. Or, you know, she touched. Or I ain't in the mood today. You know, like all of those things that you heard your mother, your grandmother, and your uncle, your grandfather say, that was really talking about their mental health.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were really talking about
mental
health. They never used those words, but those were always conversations that we have. And so they, you know, and I love this mental health movement that we've had in the last decade or so that really put emphasis on Black people, you know, talking about mental health. But I don't like the idea that to say that we never talked about it. We might not talk about it the way we, you know, clinically correct or politically correctly, you know, but I know a couple of people that my grandma said was touched or didn't have it all there or special or different. Or like my grandma said, I'm not in the mood today. Well, I ain't feeling it. Ooh, I just been out of it. You know, just all of those things that really describe somebody, how they feel. And so I think when we're talking about, do Black people take mental health seriously? I think it's a generational conversation to have, that how do Black people talk about mental health? So I think they talk about it, and I feel like we are more aware of, what do you call that, resolutions or solutions or resources, a little bit more aware, but I don't think it's a move to take action. And it goes back to our conversation last week. It goes connected to our, with What's in the Mirror, our organization, how we're connected with MTV with this new campaign for mental health action. Because, okay, you gonna just have a bad day every day? You're going to blame your period all the time. You're going to still talk about that man leaving you with these kids forever.
20 years later.
Or are we going to deal with those things? And those things are real. Those things are real. Mm-hmm. But again, do that translate to action? And so I think it's a really, really good question. I think it's a really, really good thing to bring up that we talk about mental health so much, and they try to say we don't, but we do. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like the real question is the action. It goes back to what I was saying about what we did with What's in the Mirror, about actually getting people connected. Like, let's stop talking about, oh, let's have a conversation about mental health. That's all we have a conversation about. If you Black and you talking about the Derek trial, you're talking about your mental health. Mm-hmm. If you on Twitter talking shit about Candace Owens, Vance Jones, Tucker Carlson, Fox News, CNN, pro-Black, those are all things affecting your mental health. So what do you think? So when you say that, what are you seeing as a pattern, or like, what would you like to see change when you say like this question? So like going to Taj, like Taj, went, I mean, not Taj, Coco. So we saw something completely different on Versus, right? We didn't know the background. We saw somebody uncomfortable because of her wardrobe, maybe uncomfortable because of her vocal ability. She did say, I don't think I'm gonna get these notes out. She did, you know, so I feel like she came in undefeated purposefully. Or, you know, and I'm not going to say this, but that sympathy and payola vibe, right? You know, when Escape came in, like, bitch, we that shit. We've been practicing. We know we about to hit these notes. We know we look good. We're not looking for sympathy and payola. Like, bitch, you're going to give us our flowers. Where Escape was definitely, where Coco specifically was looking for some kind of valid, I don't know, something. But we later find out that she said she was saw a shooting outside of her window, and that just really affected her, that she had an anxiety attack just before she had to be on camera, and she showed up. She wasn't going to show up, but she showed up. So yeah, what would you have liked to see differently than her making that post, that's what happened, that's what she did, and this is why? What could have been different in that situation for you?
So not telling us all her business, but telling her, at least saying, but this is something that I'm actively working on. She hashtag mental health. So yeah. My thing is, put in there, this is something that I'm actively working on. I'm working on getting my mental health. This is something I go through every now and then, but it's something I'm actively working on. I am seeking some type of help with this. She ain't got to say exactly what it is. But I think that's what people, I think I would like to see that with people in general, because I think I just hear a lot of people, we acknowledge our feelings. I feel this. I'm frustrated. I'm pissed. I'm mad. I want to kill a bitch. I want to smack a bitch. I mean, okay, but what are you going to do to address, that's not going to slap the bitch or not going to kill a bitch, not those things, but what you going to do as far as you're mad, you're frustrated, you're angry, you, I don't know. It's just, you're feeling something that's not, everything is not good. You're just walking around feeling like this all the time. And what are you going to do about it? Like, what are you, are you trying to do something about it? Do you need help? Do you need somebody to help you figure out how to handle this? Cause you've been feeling like this for a while. I think that needs to be starting like tools or fan, but I need help with it or something I'm working on. I think I want to hear that, because just hearing everybody's mad and pissed off and frustrated and all that kind of stuff all the time and not doing nothing about it, it's kind of like, okay. I mean, what do you do with that? Like, you know, I'm taking it back to clothes, you know, because that's what I do. But even like with clothes, I did a post on, Saturday. Actually, we went live on Saturday. And I was talking about how now they're saying with public speakers, you know, they used to dress up in suit and ties and stuff like this all the time, but now they're dressing more down to be more relatable. But my thing is being more relatable and dressing down, does that make you feel good? I mean, like, do you feel good when you do that? Does the clothes you having on trying to be relatable, wearing athleisure or wearing a hoodie with some yoga pants on? In her case, that worked, but that's a different story. But in other cases, like for me, if I did that, would I feel good doing that? Hell no, I wouldn't. Just to be relatable to everybody else. I think that we're starting to enable that type of, we're enabling it. Like we're enabling people, you know, not caring and doing this and being lazy and stuff. I feel like we're starting to enable those behaviors. And that's a totally different story with clothes. I won't go down that pipeline, but I guess I'll keep it as far as mental health. I feel like we're enabling people I'm not saying, yes, we want people to say how they feel, but do we want people just to be feeling that way? And then, like you say, they ain't doing nothing about it, or they gonna come, they, it's payola, sympathy. They just want you to feel sorry for them, but they're not trying to do anything to stop feeling that way or to address why they're feeling that way. They just want to come around being Eeyore all the time. We walking around enabling people to be Eeyores. That's, and I hate that. Who wants to be around Eeyore? Nobody. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be around that type of a person all the time. But there do have people who go around who just say that. I think some people say it just for attention. Like you said, payola. You know, I'm sit up there. I just.
Something wrong. Something always wrong with her.
Yeah.
I'm always wrong.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, but what are you doing about it? Like, yeah, what do you need help? Do you want me to help, you know, maybe point you in a direction, to, you know, to get you some help? Or is there something I can do to help you so you don't feel that way? Or are you just comfortable feeling that way? So I think, yes, we, like you said, well, you don't agree that they say we don't talk about it, but if we do or we don't, or we're addressing it, okay, yes, let's address it and then come up or try to figure out tools or processes or procedures or something to help people not feel that way. So yeah, we don't have a whole bunch of people walking around like Eeyore all the time, but that's it. Yeah.
And then move past the idea that we don't talk about mental health. I feel like that whole concept of boxing people of color or Black people in this thing that we don't talk about, like, stop saying that. Let's move past that. That's not true. That's false. And you're using that, like, you know, they're paying you the big bucks to talk about Black people and mental health. And that's what you came up with because we don't talk about it in your language. You know what I'm saying? We're not, you know, a part of the medical industrial complex of how to explain.
Yeah, we're y'all not, don't know our ebonics when we saying something wrong with us.
Right, we're not in the DSM or, you know, our diagnosis is not, you know, part about it. And, but just listening to you and, you know, again, so what I hear when I hear you talk about that is the lack of accountability. And that is one of the main things when we talk about like being a mental health recovery or mental wellness recovery and having an action plan. All action plans have to have some sort of accountability, because if you don't hold yourself accountable to how you're moving forward or reacting to those things that have harmed you, or hold yourself accountable for what you're going to do next, or hold other people accountable, right? Like, because sometimes it's just getting rid of people out of your life. If this person always get on your fucking nerves, then you need to hold that person accountable. Like, but I don't want to be around you because these are your behaviors and it's affecting me, right? So accountability is really, really important in mental health recovery. Like when I just think about like having action plans with clients and stuff like that. You always are looking for, okay, so this is happening to me. And what you want to ask is like, okay, well, what would make that not happen to you? You get what I'm saying? And what is not always clear.
No, it's not.
It's not a definite, that's what mental health recovery is, a continual, right? It's not like one thing or you fix it today. Like, I can get over depression from Monday and I feel better on Tuesday, but I could be affected by it again on Friday, right? Like, that's what recovery is. It's not a one-stop shop. And honestly, when you think about all of us and especially communities that are oppressed by these, you know, these things, we're always in recovery. Because again, I could be dealing with work on Monday. Like I just told you guys, like I had to leave a job because of my mental stability. But let's use that as an example, right? Accountability. So I could call you every day and say, like, this job is getting on my fucking nerves. They're doing this to me. They're doing this to me. I've been depressed. I wasn't able to get out the bed, da, 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 da. Where's the, what's next? What are you going to do? And not necessarily what are you going to do. It's usually easier to start off with what would you want to do?
Yeah.
Because we're not always in a place to like make those decisions and do the work. But when we come to a place where we can figure out what it is that we really want that could change this and then work towards that, that is more reality, right? Like I was able to quit. But you can't, that's not a solution for most people. A lot of people work jobs that are affecting their mental health. Yeah. So when you have those conversations, okay, so that's the issue. This job affecting your mental health. Okay, so what's specific about this job? What is happening that you know that affects you in a negative, that's negatively impacting your mental health. Then once you figure out the what, you already know the where, the what, and or even the why, right? It could be this person don't like you, this person I'm Black, or it could be a lot of whys. Then it's really the how. And I feel like the conversation that we're having now is the conversation that we need to be having in community, because we're so stuck on having the conversation around mental health. And I keep going back to that because don't let white supremacy put us in that box that we don't talk about mental health. We don't know how we feel. We don't know how to express our emotions. We don't know how to say that we're having a bad day. We just don't care to say it the way you guys have put it in a book to say that's how we're supposed to say it. You know, culturally affirming people is very important. You know, we talk about mental health. So yeah, this conversation is really good, and the question is really good, because the conversation now should be the next step.
Yeah.
So like, what did Coco do after experiencing someone getting shot outside of her window?
Right. Right.
And not necessarily what she did, what other people assumed that she should have done. The first question should be, what do she think she needs?
Yeah.
Because it could be a night's rest. Now, that was not something she could do.
Right.
That she had to be live on national TV.
Right.
Right. It could be to talk to someone, a crisis hotline, to actually get some professional clinical response to the experience that she just had. It could have been just an hour session to really debrief and bring her down and allow her to regroup from that experience. And again, we don't know exactly what she did, but like you said, her post didn't really go in detail. And maybe is that her job to, you know, say all that on a personal level. But again, you put that information out there. I saw somebody get shot. That really, you know, mental health aware. You know, again, to me, that's putting it out there. And this, again, I'm not saying it's like she can do whatever she wants to. And we can't really judge, because clearly that would be traumatizing to anybody. So that whole post could have been her in a traumatized state, right? Yeah. But as someone reading it, it just felt like, woe is me. And just left it at that type of thing.
Yeah. Because it was like, okay, well, clearly, I mean, and of course, some people did commend her, like, well, you know, we didn't know all that. So, you know, that's good that she was able to come through and recover. And I even said the same thing. We both talked about it. Like, that was good that she was able to go back and just turn around just that quick and come out and do what she did. That's amazing. And I do commend her for that. But if this is something that she's been, I don't know Coco like that, but I remember her on a reality show. I kind of feel like she might be somebody who's a little stubborn. And this might be something she goes through a lot. She might have anxiety attacks all the time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, she just don't do nothing about it, because that's just how I'm is. And I just think that, so like you said, mental health action and mental health awareness and everything we're talking about, the action plans, accountability, I'm here. I think it's time we start to take accountability for our mental illness and coming up with action plans or like you said, at least just get an idea of where you want, like, well, how would you want to feel about this? How would you prefer to feel on a daily basis, as opposed to being pissed off, in an angry, want to cut somebody at? How would you prefer to feel every day? Do you want to, is that how you want to feel? Or how would you want to feel every day? Okay, so at least we can acknowledge how you prefer to feel. You don't want to feel like this every day, but that's your go-to. Because some people, I feel like they get comfortable. Like, you know, that's just, they feel comfortable saying that. That's as opposed to, they don't want to say they're happy. They're comfortable saying I'm mad, I'm angry.
Because they probably are. And that's the problem. You know, I feel like someone that's really expressing that, it goes back to, are we taking it serious? Because are we even taking what we hear seriously?
Yeah.
If someone's always upset or always angry or always sad or always something is wrong, we need to start, our accountability should check in. Like, that's your friend. It's like, well, hey, are you okay? It doesn't sound like you're okay.
Yeah.
You're always, you know, you're upset about this, but how can we, what could we work on when you're not upset? Like, what can we do? Like, how, like, what does that look like? Because the next time I ask you, you know, and that goes back to what people say, well, how are you doing today? And how we, you know, people don't really care what the answer is. We okay. just say that just as, you know.
I give an answer like you don't care.
What you been up to?
Right. I always give an answer like you don't care. I'm just going to put it out there. I like, you really don't care. You just asked me that just, you know, a social cues, I guess, or whatever. So, you know, I'm fine.
Yeah. You know? I just, you know, it really, because it's just a social icebreaker, you know what I'm saying, especially someone you ain't seen before. But I think if we really, you know, took the time to really, because a lot of, again, people would tell you how they feel. People that's really in depressed mode a lot of times are right before your eyes. You know we always act like, well, I didn't know, you know, I don't necessarily, and in a lot of cases people don't know, right? People can hide depression well. People wear depression really, really well. People wear anger, anxiety very, very well. You know, I'm a person that's up, like, to this show, remember, like, I was, came out about having anxiety issues on the show. Like, a lot of people like, well, I don't see, yes, it's a thing. You know, depression, all of those things affects me. Like, I didn't just be standing mental health awareness and action because of everyone, I realized that it's something that I need for myself as well. But again, a lot of people don't, when we talk about a community, right, it's a give and take. It's more than one road. It's going back and forth between community and self. And so just as well as you should be holding yourself accountable to move forward in a mental health recovery or mental health action, the community should be doing that same work. We should be like, next time you tell somebody, ask somebody, how are they? Actually listen to them.
Yeah.
Because people are going to tell you about themselves way before you try to tell them about themselves.
Yeah.
People tell. We talk about it. If it's not just verbal, it's visual, it's body language.
Yeah, you're right, it is. But I mean, I guess half of that is people, like I just said, I assume people don't care. Because I think a lot, I might be some, there's a, some, your close friends, of course, should care. But, and then sometimes too, like they say, you should ask your friend if they are in a mental space before you dump something on them to see if they'll be able to handle it. Because sometimes you can try to dump that on somebody who is not, they're not mentally there to be able to, or they're, you know, emotionally there, mentally there, they're not there themselves to be able to handle that from you. So you tell them that, and it's almost like it falls on deaf ears. So it's like, what I tried to share, and when I told somebody, they act like they didn't care. So that's why I keep it to myself. That's an issue too.
That's consent. And we think consent is just sexual. Consent is anything that you know that, well, not even you know, like, you should just always have, if you have something that could be triggering, right? Like, hey, you know, and I'm not saying that I practice this, like, I love that you just brought that up, but the whole thing I was hearing was consent. Mm-hmm. And consent is just not like, I consent to have sex with you. No, like, everything, you know, bitch. What I saw last night, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of gruesome. Like,
yeah,
you okay? Like, you know, can I tell you about it?
Right.
I'm good. You know what I'm saying? We kind of do that. Like, I say sometimes, like, well, girl, you okay? You free to talk about, you know, like relationship. Like, I have to ask you sometimes, like, if I'm just talking too much about relationships. And not that that's a triggering thing to you, but it's getting consent. Like, you have to check in with your friends. You can't assume that what you and your friends were talking about last year, it's the same appropriate thing to talk about this year. If you're not checking in with your friends and families and loved ones and lovers about how you communicate or what you're communicating about, then it's not consensual, right? Like, you have to, like, that's not just about sex. It's about, because I'm real big on energies, right? So you have to ask people permission to bring certain energies and certain conversations and stuff, because you never know what someone's going through.
Yeah.
And if you're not checking in with them,
okay.
You know, and you just hearing stories, like, sometimes you need to figure out what someone's telling you a story. And again, this is something I can practice on, you know, too, you know what I'm saying? And ask them what that story, how did that make you feel? Like, we always want the juice. Oh, I was in a fight last night. Mm-hmm. Oh, I had to beat this bitch ass. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I had to fuck her up. She said the one thing, and I told the bitch, you say one more thing, and we into the story. Get the tea.
Okay.
Get the tea. But accountability on your part is, well, are you okay? Are you safe now?
Yeah. Okay. I totally agree. I mean, so it's a lot to that as far as making sure, you know, we're just the whole mental health action and accountability. It's a lot to that. And I think we all have a lot of work to do when it comes to that. I definitely think, you know, I know I can, I could do better as far as, well, yeah, I don't really dump. I don't think stuff on people, but I mean, I guess I could still, but I could do better as far as trying to make sure people are okay. Or like checking like, are you good? You okay? You know, I don't necessarily always ask. I just make the assumption that people are good, but people don't be. So, and if I want people to be held accountable, maybe sometimes, because sometimes people, one thing I have to do at my job is let people say how they feel. And I have to let them vent everything out and acknowledge everything that they tell me. If they tell me this is something I just had to start doing, because not everybody wants to tell you all that. Some people do like to tell you all their business. They like to tell strangers all their motherfucking business like they are a fucking therapist and like we're clinically trained to be able to do something about it. But anyway, and I'm not saying that in the negative. I'm just saying if you're contacting a computer company with issues with your mental, you can't expect them necessarily to know how to handle it like that. They're not there for that. They're there to help you with technology, computer stuff, whatever computer stuff they're supposed to have. That's what I'm saying with that. We're not, you know, but anyway, so yeah, you have to acknowledge it. And if somebody does say something, don't just, you know, if somebody might say something as little as I'm tired, that can mean a lot. Tired means a lot to me. If somebody say they tired, I take that very seriously for personal reasons. I take that very seriously because my mom said she was tired when she was sick. When she said she was tired, that's when everything seemed to go downhill. So tired to me is a word that I am not tired. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's wrong with you? You know, I might say it stank like that because that's how I am, but I'm just trying to get you to fix it. Like, no, fix it. Don't be tired. What's wrong with you? Go, you know. That's why Tyreek, don't even tell me you're tired. You just be doing all this stuff. I'm like, well, you need to do something for your self-care. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, you got a lot going on. What you doing for your mental, like, you need to incorporate some of that in there because that's too much. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Even I have to work on it. But, yeah, I just to kind of wrap it up and tie it in a bow and make it look pretty from my end, I agree with you. Accountability. And that's as Black people, we need to stop just making it seem like – is that's just supposed to be, we're supposed to walk around like that all the time. Like, it's right. We're supposed to walk around frustrated, pissed off, want to smack a bitch. Like, that's how we're supposed, even if we do feel like that, but that's not how it should not be normal. I'm not supposed to use that word.
And it goes back to what you were saying about what Black people think we deserve. Mm. Like, nice things. Yeah. Nice. We don't think, like I always say, mental wellness is not a luxury. It is a right.
Yeah.
To be mentally well is not something we it's just for people with money or people with assets. So you are born to have the right to be able to live a fulfilling life and be mentally well, as whatever that means. Mental illness does not mean you're not mentally well. You can live with mental illnesses and be mentally well. That is a right. And it goes back to what you say all the time. Black people don't, and we're saying this with love, that we feel like we don't deserve the better or the nice things. We don't deserve to be at peace, or we don't deserve to, you know, have nice things. You say this all the time, but it's the same concept. Mm-hmm. Like, white people can, they're just so calm, or they're just so good, they're so happy. You know, no, we have the same right to happiness. And happiness, I'm not saying in a, you know, as far as material things, but rather joy. Then I'd rather you have the word joy.
Yeah.
We have the right to have joy. We have the right to be mentally well. But yeah, I just had to say that because you say that all the time about how Black people think that our shit should be raggedy. They think our mental wellness, we shouldn't have that.
Yeah. We're supposed to be what they try to pin us to be, angry and upset and always ready to cut somebody out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't, in some cases,
we don't deserve that.
No, we don't deserve that. We
deserve to have to be that.
No.
We labeled that and actually have to walk in that. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Black, angry black woman. What? Who says who? Why is that actually a phrase?
Right.
Yeah, angry black woman or angry black man.
Yeah. And sometimes that's a whole different story, because that's that can go somewhere totally different. I am trying to go there, but it, just because sometimes we call out BS and we don't be allowed to be treated any old kind of way, we address it and then we're angry.
Accountability.
That part. So, so yeah. That's all I want. You know, I want Coco and all of us, if we have something we have going on with us that we just keep, it's a repeated thing and we just can't seem to kick it, and we just acting like that's just how I'm is. No, that's not just how you is. You need to try to figure out some type of plan, sis or bro, to try to fix it. It's not gonna happen overnight. It's not no Iyanla fix my life type of fix. I'm not saying that. It might be a journey that you have to go on to be able to address it. But maybe you need to go ahead and go through that journey so you can stop walking around like that. Cause that's not even good for your health in other ways. You know what I'm saying? Like, being stressed and stuff like that, stress can kill you. So that just should not be our norm. Or what's considered to be what, you know, we're supposed to be every day. I don't agree with that. So yeah, we need to fix that.
I agree with that. And like I said again, mental wellness is not a luxury. It's a right. Black people deserve everything that we're asking for. And just because we ain't getting it don't mean that we don't deserve it. And some of it is our own accountability. We can do things to get there. Yes, we have a long way to go to racial justice. We have a long way to go to a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. But addressing my depression or addressing the impact that watching another black person gets, you know, slain on TV, or addressing the relationship that ended and left me with, and I'm not trying to be stereotypical, but whatever those things in our lives that is because we're black, because we're woman, because we're queer, we have the right to address them and fix it and make it better.
Make it better.
We don't just have to go after money. We could go after a fulfilling, joyous life as well. Why is it always just about going after the, I want to be happy. Is that not something that is owed to me? You know, and I think it just goes, like you said, we need to advocate to move from those situations. We can move depression. You can move from being depressed. You can find out ways to navigate through your anxiety. You can figure out ways to not be angry all the time. Like, you're angry. Why you're angry? What would make you not angry? Yeah. And what do you have control of the anger that you're feeling? And maybe that would make you less angry. But it's a journey, right? Because again, your job can piss you off on Sunday because you want to Saturday because you want to watch Versus, and they made you work on Saturday. So now you're angry again.
Oh, I would have been.
That's valid, right? That is a valid thing. You might have got through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday was off Friday, got called in on Saturday. Like, bitch, now you pissed again. That is valid. But address those things. Because like you said, it's your health. It is your health. Everybody want to go vegan. But what is the counterpart of veganism in mental wellness? You know what I'm saying? Where can we go? Can we go higher spiritually? Can we go higher emotionally? You know, how is that healthy? What's that higher sense of health when it comes to mental health, right? That, you know, that's the wave that we are riding. We want to eat better. We need to feel better too, emotionally. Mm-hmm. not just physically. So yeah, I just love this. I'm so glad you brought this to the topic today, because it is May, it is Mental Awareness Month, and What's in the Mirror is on this campaign towards May 20th for Mental Health Action Day. And you know, we love you. We love us on this podcast. You know, what works for us includes Black folks. So and so we're gonna just advocate for that, you know, Black wellness for sure. But Emerson, Boom Cat. Well, girl, you had a lot to say about Coco and her athletic, SWB as a whole, and their athletic leisure wear, they rehearsal clothes they decided to do in front of the whole country. If people want to hear more about your fashion and journey and the do's and do nots and stuff like that, how can they reach you? How can they get more information?
Well, you can always find me on Essence of Style on Instagram. That's where I hang out. That's where I do all my rants. That's where I talk about my athleisure joggers hoodie movement that I'm on right now, that I'm trying to get people to get out of, because of people like Coco, where they're so comfortable in that stuff. When you put them in something else, they just don't know how to act. That needs to stop. So yes, I talk about all that on there, or essenceofstyle.com, my blog, my baby that I'm going to be getting back to because I miss her. And I have not had my creative outlet as far as me putting outfits together lately. And so I'm definitely getting back to that. I feel like that creative side of me is like dormant.
You're doing videos though.
Yeah, but I haven't put together outfits. Like, I'm an outfit curator. I like to put together outfits. So I'm like, I'll be shaking. Like, I was looking at something. I was like, oh my God, I haven't put an outfit together in so long. I started shaking. So I definitely am getting back to that. But yeah, I got a lot going on. But I will be getting back to that. But yes, essenceofstyle.com, still go over there. It's still a whole bunch of good stuff to read over there. There's a whole bunch of stuff you can look at, ideas as far as outfits goes, that's not athleisure. So go over there and check it out.
Yes, y'all go over there. And I guess, yeah, go to whatsinthemirror.org. I'm going to promote the organization this month. You know, our Connect to Care and Trans Connect program, where we will connect you to a mental wellness clinician of your choice, or we will help you find one and pay for your session. So definitely go to whatsinthemirror.org on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. But yes. Mr. Telltales, I haven't really put much on Mr. Telltales lately, but all my stuff is still there. I'm still accessible there. But you can find me on Facebook as Tyreek Daniels, especially if you want to do like mental health peer support. I am still taking new clients, so you know, hit me up there. And for sure, on IG, Mr. Telltales. I've been posting a lot more on Facebook and IG, you know.
I was going to call you out on that. I was like, I think you reverted back to Facebook. It's okay. I peeked out. I was like, I think Tyreek's come back on Facebook now.
Oh, I do both. Like, I don't post anything on Facebook that I don't post on IG. I just do both now. And sometimes, because IG is a little, yeah, we'll talk offline about that. Yeah, you know, IG is not as, you know, yeah. Facebook, I just have to, you know, just post some stuff, right? You know, purposely, you know, just to let, you know, let the old employers know I'm doing good over here. But yes, you know, well, we love you guys. And yeah, check on your mentors. I love it. I hit it for the ground, I carry my city through my sound.